Hello and welcome back to Doc Talk. The newly approved ophthalmic drug faricimab has already made waves by being the first of its drug class to be approved for both diabetic macular edema and neovascular age-related degeneration. But a new phase 4 clinical trial from Genentech seeks to expand on the efficacy of the drug in patients with DME from underrepresented populations. The efficacy and safety of faricimab will be assessed in patients from African American, Hispanic, Latin American, and indigenous communities throughout the ELEVATEM trial, which Dr. Matthew Cunningham of the Florida Retina Institute believes to be the first industry-sponsored assessment regarding representation in DME trials. For this episode of Doc Talk, Dr. Cunningham sits down with managing editor Kevin Kunzman to speak to the issue of representation in DME and other ophthalmology trials and how DME disproportionately affects underrepresented populations. Furthermore, Cunningham details the burdens that patients from underrepresented communities face with trial inclusion standards.
Dr. Cunningham, really do appreciate your time on the eve of ARVO 2022, both the virtual and in-person annual meeting being hosted this year. Our conversation today is really going to focus on a subject, a divergent of the topics and trends there, but nonetheless really ties into some of the ambitions I think we have for improving retina research and care. And this is speaking specifically to the ELEVATEM trial, phase 4 assessment, seeking to observe faricimab treatment response in treatment-naive, underrepresented patients with DME, diabetic macular edema. So first and foremost, thank you so much for joining us today. And secondly, if you could start off with, I guess, providing a little bit more detail, a little more insight into what the driving factors of ELEVATEM is. What are we looking to accomplish?
Yeah, so Kevin, thank you for the invite. Pleasure to be here. While, you know, the whole rationale for the study is that while underrepresented populations are disproportionately affected by diabetes and at a higher risk of developing diabetic macular edema, there's historically been a lack of diversity in ophthalmic clinical trials. ELEVATEM, to my best belief, is the first industry-sponsored trial that is trying to address this specific problem for diabetic macular edema. One of the major goals is to better understand how traditionally underrepresented patient populations with diabetic macular edema respond to Vabysmo or faricimab. Once we have this answer, I truly believe not only underrepresented populations, but as a whole, we're going to be able to help deliver better and more equitable care.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Cunningham. And maybe if we can delve into, I guess, let's first start at the intervention before we talk about the patient population. The value of better interpreting faricimab, obviously, in recent regulation decision and now becoming more readily rolled out and available to the greater U.S. population. What's, the particular interest in better interpreting it across subpopulations based off of race and ethnicity?
In any clinical trial, the whole goal is to set up a new standard of care potentially. And standard of cares are great if there is enough representation to state that the results are transmissible across all populations. So if we have historically clinical trials that have a lack of representation from underrepresented populations, it's really difficult to state whether the standard of care holds true for Caucasians versus Hispanics versus Latinx versus African Americans and the like. So that is why, even though recent trials have showed really good results, Genentech and Roche's goal with ELEVATEM is specifically to see if that holds true in the underrepresented patient population.
Speaking historically, I guess, to the state of research into retina care, and even more specifically, diabetic macular edema, what sort of shortcomings have we had, in the past in terms of, particularizing, understanding how these, again, these are game-changing agents that we're talking about, the anti-VEGF drug class, nonetheless, with all this robust data, there isn't too much, as you're saying, stratification and interpretation across these different populations based off of race and ethnicity. What sort of other shortcomings, I guess, are we having in retina research?
You know, the shortcomings are really nobody's fault per se. It's more of just lack of inclusivity per se. So if you only have a crop as, you know, 5 or 6% of the entire trial population is, you know, say Hispanic or African American, that's not representing the entire US population as a whole. In that instance, it's really difficult to state whether when I go into clinic and I offer a patient, you know, one of the many drugs that we have to offer them, whether they're going to have the same response that we saw in a clinical trial. So as a whole, I think this does make us, this is a game changing potential study, because it might be the first of its class and it might be the first of many trials that specifically look at, trying to increase diversity in trials that we do.
And Dr. Cunningham, what sort of, I guess, disparities do we observe in terms of the ways that DME impacts underrepresented patient populations relative to white patients? Is it discernible symptoms, progression of disease, severe outcomes, disparities? What exactly is it?
So we know that when many underrepresented population patients come in, a lot of times they have more advanced diabetic retinopathy. We know they have a higher risk of developing diabetic macular edema. Diabetic macular edema, as you may or may not know, is the leading cause of vision loss from diabetic retinopathy. So, you know, it holds true that if we have a population that's coming in with more advanced disease and a higher percentage of having diabetic macular edema, the leading cause of vision loss, you know, who knows if we're comparing apples to apples when we're comparing a underrepresented patient to a Caucasian or the like. So that is why trials such as this are very important, because these questions really haven't been addressed in the past. And I think that this is a study that does aim to address that.
And obviously these primary secondary outcomes, you know, assessing clinical efficacy and safety, hugely beneficial. But oftentimes we can derive a lot of understanding for such a, you know, significant trial from things that are just derived contextually near the end. And something that really stands out to me of importance on this subject, not only in ophthalmology and retinal care, but just across the spectrum of, clinical assessments, is the need for improved recruitment and understanding of, I guess, patient to physician communication across different representations as we're looking at here. Do we imagine that there's anything more we can possibly derive from this, or maybe set as like a guiding light for, you know, other retina investigators as they continue to pursue to have greater representation in the trials?
I think you nail it on the nose, right? So a lot of times you have to ease the burden of getting a patient into a clinical trial. And specific to ophthalmology and diabetic trials, hemoglobin A1C has been a really big deterrent. Like I said, a lot of patients from underrepresented populations come in with more advanced diabetic retinopathy. However, some of them come in with more highly unregulated disease. So their A1Cs might be 12 to 14. Cutoff for inclusion in a clinical trial might be 10% A1C number. So the numbers alone sometimes will exclude a fair amount of, and I've seen this in my own, in our own clinical research site, that we've lost a lot of patients from being included in trials solely because of their A1C level. Elevatum is trying to broaden this a bit by, you know, allowing up to 20% of the patients to have up to a 12% hemoglobin A1C, where normally it's about 10%. Things like that might increase, might increase the percentage of representation. Other things like offering compensation, stipends for meals, transportation to and from their house, just to ease known barriers for participation. These are things that we're seeing and that are helping patients become more included.
Absolutely. And I would add to that as well. I think it's already very well understood that there's such inherent hurdles already in place to, assure treatment adherence and commitment to a regimen, such as with anti-VEGFs that we've been encountering this entire time of showing their great durability, efficacy, safety, and so much understanding of dosing regimen strategies. The reason we're extrapolating so much, right, is because we're just trying to make sure patients are continually getting care because it's already difficult enough. So I think this really does speak to a hugely unmet need, and I'm really excited to see what these outcomes are. So with that in mind, if we could just talk logistics a little bit, do we have anticipated, I guess, published date? What's the timeline looking like right now for Elevatum?
The timeline for results from Elevatum are scheduled for 2024.
Okay. So we got some time. Okay, great. All right, excellent. And in the meantime, I guess just in terms of, effects beyond just the outcomes itself and follow-up research, whatever you falls from what those findings are, what else is your team hoping to uncover in the space in the meantime?
I hope that we learn more than just the results of how Vabysmo works for diabetic macular edema in underrepresented populations. I hope that we, as a whole, learn how to recruit more effectively underrepresented populations so that going forward, we don't have to specifically create a study addressing one specific population, but we can then use the things that we've learned from this trial to help with our going forward in future trials. So that as a whole, the percentages of different populations in our trials going forward look more like our background and our population makeup as a whole.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Cunningham. And on a last note, as I mentioned up top, ARVO 2022 kicking off this week. From your perspective, key topics, discussions, data that you're excited to hear or learn more about?
We're always excited to learn about any new treatments for wet macular degeneration. This is an area where we still struggle. We're still having a lot of patients lose vision from geographic atrophy, really trying to find that next really good silver bullet for the treatment of atrophy. Gene therapy studies, these are all exciting different treatment modalities that we're always looking for different modalities to offer patients in clinic.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Cunningham. Anything else you want to add relevant to Elevatum, these discussions around retina care or ARVO 2022?
I'll tell you as someone who started the research department at Florida Retina Institute and serving as the principal investigator with Elevatum, myself and my whole research team were extremely, extremely proud to be a part of this first of a kind study. We're looking forward to the results in 2024, looking forward to continued recruitment for this study and, hopefully learning as a whole to increase diversity across the board with future clinical trials.
Absolutely. We got a while to wait, but can't wait to see and learn more from Elevatum. So thank you so much for sharing these insights and looking forward to hearing from you again.
Absolutely.
We'd like to thank Dr. Cunningham for joining the program, and thank you so much for listening. If you want more ophthalmology news, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back this Thursday with a new episode of Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.